Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 6:10. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here.
Hi, Pete.
Mark Harmon. It's fun to see you guys.
Hi, Mark.
You guys look great. Really, really nice.
That's nice. Thank you.
Steve will be live in Vegas tonight for the pregame. What time is that?
8:30. Puck drop at 9. Blackhawks trying to end a six-game streak, and they had to fly out Steve Cochran. That's the way I'm seeing it.
Out of all the people that have come through WGN that are currently working here at WGN, who loves Vegas more than anyone?
Steve Cochran.
No.
Yeah, I want to know what Cochran's doing all day there.
Does he like to gamble?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you
doesn't
don't have
drink.
To gamble in Vegas.
Maybe he'll go see a show.
Go to shows?
Maybe he's a guest Cirque du Soleil performer.
Well, what do you? They don't have those during the day, do they?
Sure, they have matinees.
They got to do stuff during the day. People just don't sleep.
There's
all
shopping
the time
to do. There's great restaurants in Vegas.
I highly recommend the WGN Radio Instagram video situation that's going on.
Yes.
Mary and Steve and
Stephanie.
Andrea. It's a whole thing. I mean, it occupies my whole day. I really enjoy watching Steve live in Vegas.
Really?
They're spilling things in the airport. They didn't even fly before they created a mess in the concourse. I mean, who does that, with all due respect?
The Cochran Show.
I mean, they need comic relief. That's where I come in.
No, Pete.
Because Cochran's sleeping on the plane. Mary's very serious to make sure everything goes right. Mm-hmm. Stephanie's taking pictures the entire time.
Isn't Andrea there, too?
Yes.
Oh, Darlis will be fun.
Andrea's there. Yeah, they're going to go out and about and
she'll
do
have
interviews
a few pops
and things
too.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but Pete McMurray would never spill something in the airport. That would not happen to you. You're way too organized.
Wow.
McMurray would pack up a box of props, and he would ship them to the hotel week prior so that he could pass out props to everybody. Like, okay, here's your
ham. For videos.
You're going to take
and
this
And I'd
ham?
Bring costumes
yeah,
and the whole
and
deal.
You're going to wear a robe, and then you get boxing gloves?
You can actually pack the ham, Jane. Yes.
Oh, you pack the ham.
Yes. You can
I thought it was a fake
suitcase.
Rubber ham.
They'll let it go through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's time for the 666. Choke!
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, time for the 666. At number one, President Trump sent Congress his vision for the federal budget, calling for large increases in military spending, which is no surprise, and cuts to Medicaid and other entitlements without cutting deficits, as the Republicans usually practice. What's going to happen here?
Did he send a vision or did he write it in an email?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't think this is going to get passed in its current form.
Well, probably not.
Not at all.
No.
All right. Number two. The Dow closed up more than 400 points. Who took all their money out last week?
I feel like there's a lot of people that did.
Mm-hmm. Well, put it back in.
Did you?
I did not. You got to stay the course.
You know what they say, you cannot guess the market. Just leave it in there. Don't pay attention. That's the key.
Any money manager would say this, buy fear, sell greed.
Well, you may not be at the bottom of the correction either, so be careful.
Buy fear, sell greed.
Right.
Steve's
like, yeah, right.
I think I knew we reached the top when somebody called me up and said, the market is roaring. I'm like, that's when I should
Nobody
sell.
Nobody knows. They don't know.
It was like the day, the next day.
There always is going to be a correction.
Well, who knows, right?
Nobody knows. If you knew, you'd be a multi.
Or you'd be in jail.
Buy fear, sell greed. At number three, the Chicago-based Land of Nod closing all its stores. I know, Carm, since you don't have any kids, you have no idea what this is. They're going to remain online. My wife used to go to the Land of Nod all the time.
The one right on Halsted?
It is at Clybourne and North, right on the corner next to Crate and Barrel.
Yeah.
Now, are they owned by Crate and Barrel? There's a connection there, right?
I mean, they could possibly be the same parent company, but that Land of Nod is gone?
Oh, yes. The flagship Crate and Barrel on Michigan Avenue closed in January. However, if you can find a Crate and Barrel, they'll have Land of Nod items in it.
Really?
Or you can buy them online.
Wait, the Crate and Barrel right at the on Michigan Avenue closed? That was a beautiful store.
Last year.
Oh, yeah, it's becoming a Starbucks.
It's going to be the world's largest Starbucks,
biggest
right?
Starbucks, uh-huh.
Wow.
The world's largest.
Because we need another one.
That building is like 3 stories tall.
Have you
yeah,
been
it's
to the
be huge?
Has anyone been to the Starbucks on Rush Street and Walton? The reason I say this is because it's enormous. It's 2 stories.
Well,
and they're building one right around the corner. It's going to be the world's largest.
Want me to run down there? Get a little.
How about the one in Wrigleyville across from Wrigley? Used to be the old Harry Carey's. That's 2 stories.
That's because they want people to come in and sit around all day, play on their computers, have meetings, and drink coffee.
Who's got time for that?
I don't know. Wow. That's where people are doing their work these days.
Land of Nod closing. Oh, I know. Sad. You're all broken up. All right, number four. This is the big one. The Hancock Center is no longer.
What?
I don't know. That's ridiculous. Ooh. Yeah.
The building formerly known as the Hancock Center is selling its naming rights. So they're taking the Hancock name away, and it's going to be known as 875 North Michigan.
Well, no one's going to go there. You're not going to know where to end up. Hey, meet me at 875.
I've worked in the Hancock building twice, so I know the address, but most people don't.
Right.
It doesn't matter. When they take these names away, it will always be the Hancock. It will always be the Sears Tower. It will always be Comiskey Park.
Yep.
Mm. No?
Agree.
You call it the Willis?
I call it the Willis. I call it Sox Sears. Park. No.
You call it Sox Park, not Guaranteed Rate Field?
When I'm around Victor, the owner of Guaranteed Rate, I call it Guaranteed Rate Field.
Victor will...
So the Hancock Center, who's going to buy it? I mean, who's going to buy the naming rights? It's going to be an insurance company.
It's up for grabs. Anybody could buy it.
Right.
What about the Pete McMurray building?
I don't want my name on a building.
Everything's Hamilton these days. You might as well stick to the...
You never know.
What do they call it? Willis 1 and Willis years. 2.
McMurray
Tower. Have
Towers.
You heard of Willis Insurance before the Willis Tower?
No, I still call it the Sears Tower.
Okay. All right. Today is Fat Tuesday. How do you pronounce this, Jane? P-A-C-Z-K-I apostrophe S.
Punchkies.
I thought it was Punchkies.
Punchkies.
Punchki.
I'm going Punchki.
Punchki.
Punchki. It's a jelly donut. Today's the day.
I love jelly donuts.
Who doesn't? Right
a
now, let's go.
Punchki is a major jelly donut.
I mean, it's amazing. Yes, it's a jelly donut on steroids. And they're going to be all over Chicago.
For some reason, I always miss out on the punchkis. Like, they're always in an office, they're always in a building, and I
we'll
get there, and there's, like, just
some.
Little crumbs of sugar left.
We had a ton of them last week.
Yeah, I heard that.
They always come in a week early.
Why
here
is that,
from
Mary?
Their one bakery.
To promote it.
To promote it. And then we might get more today. Who knows?
Punchkis.
If you guys ask for them, we'll probably get them.
You want a punchki? Today's the day.
I know.
Fat Tuesday.
Really a great day to indulge.
I made brownies. There's brownies up here.
Oh.
Okay. I like that. I'm giving up chocolate for Lent, but we'll talk about that later. And number six, the Olympics. What happened last night? Chloe Kim picked up the gold in snowboarding. I saw her snowboard on Sunday night. I had no idea who she was. I'm like, wow, is she good? And it looked like she was wearing headphones.
I'm sure she probably was, because that's how they train.
Can you listen to tunes before you go out?
I agree.
Carm, any idea?
Fiddling with them. I saw her.
She did. Mary, you saw that.
Yeah, she had green little earbuds in. Yep.
The whole sport freaks me out.
Snowboarding?
Like, whoever came up with this thing. We're gonna build a half pipe. We're going to have a board. We're going to fly through the air. We're gonna judge it.
I mean, how can you do those spins and turn your body over like that? And then you got to grab the board?
And they got to wear those big clothes. Why do they wear such big puffy clothes?
Mary, I'm looking at this girl, this tiny little girl.
She's
in these
so
big
cute.
Puffy clothes. How do you move and twist in these clothes, number one?
And the scarf. They wear the big scarf.
And the big hat.
The helmets. Yep. The big goggles. The big gloves.
How do you move? It's like a hockey player, though, being able to move.
How likable is Chloe Kim?
So likable.
So cute.
Very marketable.
She's going to be a standout. You're right.
Her and her dad are like a team.
So every time one of these Olympians, like Red, he won for his sport. You know Red, the kid that won the same thing that Chloe won?
Yes.
What's it called again? It's like the slide. It's like the... Anyway.
Snowboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Red has his goggles and the hat on the scarf. Chloe has her goggles and the hat on the scarf. And we're yelling at the TV, take your goggles off. You're on TV.
Oh, yeah. You got to show your face.
But they don't care. They don't know. They just want a gold medal. That's all they're thinking about. But
right,
we're like, this
out.
Is your marketing time. Come on, get your face out there. And I said, this girl's going to be all over every box of Wheaties there's to be.
And Carm, she's only 17, right?
Yep, 17 years old and coming. You know, she's California, but she's got her grandmother, what is from South Korea. So there's that connection, the whole thing. It's a really great story.
God, she's just so graceful.
And she's so cute.
God.
Her parents, rather, were born in South Korea. I'm sorry.
So for her, too, 4 years ago, she was only 14 and wanted to be in the Olympics, but was too young. Or, I'm sorry, 13.
13.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, she couldn't get in. How does that work? I didn't realize that there was an age limit.
How can you be so successful at that age? I'm ready to go at the Olympics. I can win a gold right now. I get it that happens all the time, but it's still amazing to me.
13, it was a big deal. I had the hair lip. I was shaving. That was my big deal at 13.
So my cousin texted me about Khloe Kim, and I'm not a big Kardashian watcher, but I thought that he was texting me about the Kardashians when he first texted me about this Olympic star.
Because it's Khloe and Kim, the two names, so that guy.
Yes, you're right. That does make sense.
This is the first thing I thought of.
Oh, no, I didn't think of that.
Does make sense.
Another
girl?
Bonus for her, because everyone's already familiar with the names.
Right.
I don't know if it's
Khloe
a good bonus. So. I know.
The 6 at 6 brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. We can be legends after all.
WGN. Our next guest, she is a member of the United States Olympic team. Think about that for a second. You're representing your country.
Your whole life, you're a member of the United States Olympic team.
She will be competing
Amazing. Tomorrow
in skiing. Is
so
that right?
Tonight. So tomorrow in South Korea.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
That's right. She's got to go to bed.
It's 14 hours difference.
Yep.
So if it's 6:30 in the morning here, it's 9:30 at night there. So she's competing tomorrow for them, tonight for us.
And we'd like to welcome to the show Trisha Mangan. Trisha.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. First of all, congratulations on making the Olympic team. You got to be stoked here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so excited.
I mean, tell me about that moment when you were walking out for the opening ceremony. I mean, what were the emotions that were running through your body? You're on national TV, the world is watching, and there you are walking out representing the United States of America.
It was crazy. When my coach first called me, I think I was still kind of in shock, and then I called my parents and it was pretty emotional, and yeah, it took a little bit to sink in, but it's amazing.
Trisha, it's just so amazing because you got the call sort of last minute, and unfortunately one of your teammates was hurt. You were at the Junior World Cup, and you got the call. You called your family, and then everyone just hightailed it to South Korea. What did they say to you?
Yeah, exactly. my family?
Yeah.
Or my coach?
All of them.
My family was so, so excited for me. My dad goes, it's unbelievable. And I'm so glad that they were able to make it. And I'm actually with them right now. I just have had the room. And it's so, so awesome that they can be here. And they've always been my biggest support system. So they're as much a part of this as I am. So it's great that they can share in the experience.
So, Trisha, I saw one of the posts that you put on your Instagram account, and you were riding a bike going fast. You said, I love to go fast. Sorry, Dad. You love to go fast. You're going downhill. You're going fast. You're always going fast. Does it scare your dad?
Yeah, my dad particularly does not like mountain biking because to him that's unneeded risk. But I like to do things that scare me for sure. And anything from mountain biking to cliff jumping, I think, is great off-season training for skiing.
Trisha, tell me about the weather, because didn't you have a meet that was canceled the other day? I hear the weather is just horrible. The winds are horrible. That's what we're hearing back here.
So the RGS got moved to Thursday, and it was because of the high winds. It's been quite freezing. Today was actually the first pretty manageable day, which was really nice. And the winds are definitely tough, but other than that, the venues are in amazing shape. The snow is awesome. So once the winds calm down, we should have a really good race.
Trisha, are you kind of segueing from happy to be there to now you're thinking about winning, maybe doing the whole visualization thing? What's going on in the head as far as going out there and competing?
It was kind of like I heard I was going, and then I was instantly obviously excited to go to the Olympics, and then immediately my thoughts were like, oh, like what am I going to do in the race? Like, like game plan, everything. And then it went back to like, okay, taking the experience in. We've been training a lot, which is awesome, and Emma was super focused during that. So I think that come race day, it'll be 100% focus. And right now we had a couple extra days, so it was nice to kind of take a step back and take it in and get a little added bonus rest before our race.
We're talking with Trisha Mengen, who's going to be competing this week in the Olympics for the United States of America. Now, we were talking about the winter coats. There's two different kinds. There's the white puffy, and there's the white thin one. As a skier, and you have to be fast, and you can't have anything dangling from your clothes, what are you wearing?
So it's actually called a speed suit. Totally different than a coat and not warm at all. But you aren't really in it for that long. You have your coat and stuff, everything on over it, and then you take all your clothes off and race in your speed suit only. But when you're racing and like right before and right after, you kind of have a ton of adrenaline going through you, so it's not too bad.
That's right. It's like the bodysuit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's similar to what like speed skaters wear, or losers, or
right.
Aerodynamics is huge.
Trisha, so you compete in the Junior World Cup, and you're doing this almost every weekend in Europe. So this is what you're always with your teammates. You spend a lot of time together. The difference here is now you're in the Olympics. Does it help that you know all your competition? Because I would imagine you know everyone else that's you ski against that are from Germany and all the other countries.
Yeah, it's actually not the Junior World Cup, it's just the World Cup, so it's everybody of all ages, and I'm definitely on the younger side for that, and this is my first year in the full World Cup, so some of the girls I know really well, and some of them I'm just huge fans of and look up to, but overall, the atmosphere on the World Cup is awesome, and I think you just have a lot of mutual respect for your competitors and how hard they work, and that sometimes turns into friendships, which is pretty awesome.
So when are you going to be competing so everyone listening right now can watch you on TV?
I compete on Thursday 15th, which is the giant slalom, and I think that'll actually broadcast Wednesday night.
Okay, broadcast Wednesday night, so she's competing Thursday morning in South Korea. That makes sense.
Yeah, so the slalom is tomorrow, and I am not racing the slalom. I'm racing in the giant slalom and then the super combined on the 23rd.
So the super combined is the giant slalom mixed with the fast downhill?
It's actually one run downhill, one run slalom.
Oh.
Jeez.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the biggest turns and the smallest turns. It's kind of like an all-around event, which I like because I see everything.
And Trisha, how old are you?
I'm 20.
She's 20 years old. God, this is just wonderful. We're pumped for you. We're going to be watching on TV, and thank you for coming on, okay?
All of America is rooting for you, Trisha.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll talk soon. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Trisha.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Trisha Mengen, who's going to be competing at the Olympics in South Korea.
How does that happen? Like, how do you hold vision that this is what I'm going to do with my life? I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be...
I don't know, man.
It's like...
I mean, we're such underachievers here on the morning show.
This is a girl from Buffalo, New York that... Yeah. How do you become an Olympic skier from Buffalo, New York? Like, it's amazing. And then you're on this world stage.
Love what you do and chase it.
Started skiing at two, but like, you know, you always hear these ads, like, you always dream about being on this platform, winning the Super Bowl. Like, no, you didn't. I didn't. I was like trying to make the freshman B basketball team.
Maybe she did. That's the thing.
Amazing.
All right, we got headlines coming up next. It's 720 WGN.
Ooh, G. Show. The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Time for the Kid of the Week. I love this segment because it's an ordinary kid is nominated because they do extraordinary things. On the phone with us, our Kid of the Week, it's Delaney Drummond. What a great name. Delaney, good morning.
Hi.
You were nominated by Aaron Stone. Now, let me see if I have this right. Aaron Stone, you're on the same high school bowling team as Aaron's daughter, Lauren. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And what high school do you go to?
I go to Plainfield East High School.
Plainfield East. Now, if you're a bowler on the bowling high school team, do you own your own ball?
Of course I do. I have like 5 balls.
Wow. Okay. Now, if you have one that you love, it has a nickname, right?
I haven't named my balls yet.
You gotta have a nickname.
Where did you get that from?
My mother used to bowl, and my mother's name is Betty Ann, and we used to call her ball the Betty Ball. Everybody has a nickname.
Mine's Mr. Spare.
Mr. Spare. Oh. Joe, you're a bowler?
Sure am.
Mr. Spare.
Oh.
Why wouldn't you go Mr. Strike?
Delaney, you're going to have to
name
the balls.
You're selling yourself to a little short.
I know, I need a name.
Does that fan actually work at the bowling alley?
Wait, what was that?
The fan? You know, the fan that you put your hand over because your hand's sweating?
Yeah.
I don't think it works.
Do you actually use that? Does it, I mean, do you dry off the inside of your hand?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Have you?
I use a rosin, so it keeps my hand dry.
She's serious.
Wow.
That's a serious
What's the highest
right
score you've ever done, Delaney?
236.
Nice.
236. That's impressive. Wow.
Thank you.
I mean, that's unbelievable. All right. Tell me about your friendship with Lauren, because you were nominated by her parents. Now, Lauren is special needs. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Tell me how this friendship started.
It started a few months ago when bowling started, and I don't know, she was by herself, so I just included her in everything and thought it was nice.
So Delaney sees Lauren and she's kind of sitting by herself. She grabs Lauren, brings her over to the group. You became fast friends with her, didn't you? You guys are good friends.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know how special you are? I don't think high school kids do this. I don't think they grab other kids and bring them over to their group. Everybody likes to stay in their own little clique. I mean, that's pretty special. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
And so when you started bringing Lauren around, did you sort of teach her like tricks on how to bowl and get...
I tried. But she does some things I ask her to do.
I mean, it's just out there to be hanging out with everyone. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just the bringing her into the group and sort of being a mentor and a friend is really just so special. And I think, Delaney, that by your actions, the other kids may see what you're doing and say, hey, I want to do that too. I want to be kind and nice and treat other people the way I want to be treated as well. So
you're
that's
a role
just
model.
A lovely thing.
Right.
Thank you.
I mean, good for you.
No one gets there alone, Delaney. You want to give any credit to anyone who helped you along the way?
Her mom and dad are really nice, and I guess that helps. And that's really it.
How did you get into bowling? Does one of your parents bowl?
No, I just started by myself. I started freshman year. I'm a junior this year.
Okay.
So I've been bowling for 3 years, and I thought to try something new, and I guess I was pretty good at it.
God, good for you. And I love the fact that you took Lauren under your wing and brought her into the group, and here you are nominated as the Kid of the Week.
Thank you.
Do you see Lauren outside of bowling now that the season's over?
Yeah, we just went bowling last night, actually.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She beat me one game. It's okay.
Wow.
Nice. Go Lauren.
Yeah, right. Is Lauren listening right now?
Yeah, she's in the car with me right now.
Oh, what do you want to say to Lauren? How's she changed your life?
I don't know. I've been happier and more outgoing because of it, because of meeting her.
Good for you. I forgot. You're on your way to school right now, right?
Yes, I am.
Do you have
20 minutes.
Do you have any tests today? What's going on at school, in high school?
Well, I'm into photography, and I have an assignment to do today. Pretty cool.
Photography and bowling. I didn't have that when I was in high school. I just feel like I had a lot of algebra and chemistry.
Yeah.
When is the end of the semester? Isn't it coming up?
End of semester is in May.
Oh, you do? Well, I mean the quarter. Is there a quarter?
Quarter. We don't really focus on quarters, but I think the end of the quarter is this month or next month.
Right. I have a seventh grader, so we focus on quarters. Take it a little bit at a time.
Well, he's not in high school yet. I think you should maybe combine the love for bowling and the love for photography, and I can see some really cool shots going down the alley, right, with the ball. What do you think?
I can see it now.
Yes.
I would suggest that maybe watching The Big Lebowski sometime in the next month, which is a great bowling movie. Your dad will like that.
And Lauren can be your assistant.
Yes. Delaney Drummond. What a great name. Do they call you D2, D squared?
No. Delaney.
Okay. I'll keep my mouth shut now. We are going to set you up with gift cards from Lou Malnati's and Apt Electronics, okay?
Okay.
And congratulations, Delaney, on being the kid of the week. And say hello to Lauren for us, okay?
Say hi to Lauren.
Okay.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
They said hi. Don't hang up. Hold on. I mean, that's a great kid.
Oh, that's so sweet. And, you know, she's really humble about it. She's like, I helped defend.
And a nice high school kid. Usually they hate adults. Yeah. It's like, what? What are you talking to me right now? Yeah. It's, you know, it's 10 to 7 in the morning.
It made me think of my greatest moment at the University of Iowa, which was the bowling final. You had to roll a 150 to not have to take the written final. Of course, I was the one guy that was terrified to take
it. It was a class?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You had to take.
No wonder class. You're sitting next to us.
Four gyms you had to take. One credit for each.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My wife is from Wausau, Wisconsin, which is 5 hours straight north.
Well, that's really why you go to Granite Peak, I see.
We took an RV, I want to say 2 years ago, up north, just to have some fun.
Just the three of you?
The RV is great for everybody except the driver. It's no fun for the driver. I drove the entire way. It was no fun.
And it's so big.
It's so big.
Oh, my gosh.
And the driver doesn't have any fun. People back there can walk around. They can watch TV.
Kick back.
Get a refrigerator and grab some food. The driver, he's got to keep it on the road.
Hire a driver.
I hate to be real basic here, but you drive the RV into the campground, then you sleep in the RV.
No, there's no campground. I drove it to my sister-in-law's, my wife's sister.
You slept in the RV?
We did not sleep in the RV.
What was the point of the RV?
Just to do it.
You rented it, right?
It was actually at a radio station that I was at a few years ago.
Oh, you stole it?
I did. I borrowed it.
Did you let him use the bathroom when you were driving?
Yeah, of course.
Did you cook anything?
That's part of the fun.
Our dog was a puppy at the time and took care of business right in the middle of the RV. We had to stop in Huntley. I mean, we barely got out of town, and Wrigley did his business.
You just wanted to drive a house, really, Pete.
Well, it was like the Griswolds. I'm like, we're going to do something fun this summer. We're going to take an RV up north.
We're going to drive
it. What a horrible idea.
We're never going to sleep in it.
I want people to take care of me. I don't want to drive a bus for 5 hours. It's terrible. I felt like Shirley Partridge, but it was bigger. All right, time for the Blackhawks Express, which is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
They beat the Hawks 6-1 here tonight.
Well, that's it. It's been a rough go of it the last few games. Okay, let's take a break. And we checked in with Trisha Mangan, who is an Olympic skier this hour, which was wonderful. Next hour, we're going to check in with Jeremy Roenick, who is at the Olympics. And if you've seen his pictures on Instagram, hanging out with the United States Olympic hockey team, and they look young, man. I know they're young, but they look like high schoolers.
But it's so interesting now because none of the professional players can play.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to find out what his take is.
It's better this way. Give me the youth. That's what the Olympics should be.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
They got a couple of grizzled veterans. One former Blackhawk, actually, James Wisniewski.
You're right. They do.
And they're like 20 years older than the young guys.
Who is the captain is pretty old, isn't he?
Gianta.
Yeah.
I want to say he's at least 17 years older than
I thought there was another guy.
Exactly what we're talking about. The Olympics should have a good balance between young and old. That's exactly what
I'm saying. Right.
Quick break. We'll check news top of the hour at 720 WGN.
I want to welcome John Coyle in studio. John's a friend of the show and an Olympic silver medalist in the 5,000 meter relay in 94. What was that Olympics known for?
Breakthrough announcement in the Tanya Harding Jeff Gillooly affair. Appears Tanya may have had a role or at least known about, and our head swivels and our eyes lock.
Please don't hurt me.
Babe, do you remember what it felt like being in the Lillehammer then?
I mean, it's just one of those things where she's coming one way, I'm coming the other way.
She hit you in the leg with a black pipe.
No, she's...
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I get no time.
It is 7:12, and we're playing Chumbawamba, right? Isn't that the band?
Yeah.
Because I still own this CD.
I thought you got rid of all your CDs.
I did. About a month
Except
ago.
Except for this one.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuras is here. Mark Harmon is here. The entire crew is in Vegas. Steve will be live for the pregame tonight, starting at 8:30.
8:30, baby.
8:30. I need to write that down.
They're still up gambling, huh?
He's on with Justin Kaufman starting
at
7.
No, right now.
I'm sorry, what?
Right now. Let's see. What time is it in Vegas? 2 hours difference?
Yeah, that's 5:15.
They're just going to bed.
Right. No, I don't know about this crew. I have a question. Chicago is a city unique like no other. Okay? Mm-hmm. Especially during the wintertime. I posted 3 pictures on Facebook, and the response was incredible. It's about dibs.
Right.
About leaving things in the street to hold your parking spot. And here was my question, because I took a picture of chairs, I took a picture of milk crates, which I think if it's not a chair, a milk crate, forget it. Or a paint can, yeah. I don't think you can hold a spot with a paint can.
I actually saw a kid's bicycle as a placeholder. It was mixed with one chair. I think you're right, it has to have a chair, but the bicycle had a seat.
So. Cones, I'm okay with cones.
Mm.
The orange cones.
You don't get a spot because you shoveled a spot.
That's yes, not, you do.
Yes, no. Yes, you do.
Dibs.
That is the city. That's the unwritten rule in the city.
And if
you park there,
yeah, forget it. They're going to come to your house and find you.
I know that is the rule,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's how we do things.
You got to follow the rule.
Way too much entitlement on. You had to get your car out. That's why you did it, pal. That you don't get a spot for that.
Here is my question: how long can you hold that spot?
The day,
eight hours. Yeah, how long?
Work day.
What if it's a blizzard for 3 days?
Was your car parked in it?
Yeah.
Well,
but you shovel it out, and then you put your items there, and then you come back.
So you get 8 hours of dibs, right? So your car is there
I think
overnight.
It's longer. I think it's a few days. But I think once it turns 32 degrees, this was my question on Facebook, when is it over? Because some people said, it's at the end of the summer. I mean, at the end of winter.
Listen, when you leave to go to work in the morning on a regular day that has no snow, you don't get to save the spot on the street.
You
I think
park
that's what
there,
Mark is trying to say. It's
you park
crazy.
There, you have to be careful because they're going to trash your car. Some people will slash your tires. Some people will leave you a nasty note.
If there's no
threatening
snow
your family.
On the street, you don't get to save the spot.
But how is it different, though?
Well, that is my question. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. Here is the question. How long can you save that spot? Once it turns 32 degrees? Or is it after 24 hours, after 48 hours? When does it end? When is the end time?
You mean being able to call dibs on it, put your chair in the middle of it.
Right.
Okay.
Because my neighbors... My old neighbors used to have dibs the entire winter.
Ooh.
They would keep a chair out there.
And we'd just put it back in the spot.
Even if the snow was gone, there was a chair out there.
Not when there's no snow.
Yeah.
It's way too victim-y. You did what everybody should do. You shoveled your spot, just like everyone should. We're all in this together. We're all Chicagoans. You don't get to save spots. Sorry. That's how I see it.
Your car gets trashed if you park in that spot.
I'm sure it does.
The neighbors come to they know your car, and the neighbors come to your house, knock on the door, and say, hey, that's my spot. I mean, I kind of wish it wasn't that way, because a lot of times when I park in the street, which I do now, you spend a lot of time
digging
out your car.
An article, brake lines cut over dibs parking spot in Ukrainian village, woman says. I'm telling you, people will trash your car. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Paul. Paul? How long can you hold that spot?
From as soon as the snow starts to melt, and you can see good old terra firma. So, yeah, once that snow's gone, then pretty much your dibs are gone. And I have actually moved people's dibs when there's when the snow is gone, because that becomes city property again, you know?
Right.
It's always city property.
Okay.
It's always city property, but it's the effort that you had to shovel that out. Until the city starts to actually get down there fast enough, and it's not going to happen because it's so stinking big.
I agree. So this week, so
dig it to the mill.
If you dug out your spot this past weekend when it was horrible, this week it's going to start melting today, and tomorrow it's going to be 42 degrees. So forget it. You're done. It's over.
Yeah, as long as soon as like as soon as that snow's pretty much gone and there's other places to park, that's when you got to give it up.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I agree with him 100%. I'm with him.
And then well, as
and the three of us live in the city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the snowplows can't get in between the cars. I saw a guy yesterday. It took him 45 minutes to dig out his car and just drove away. I mean,
it's rough stuff.
Dressed up for work.
What happens if you do like a 38% job? You got yourself out to get to dib that one too?
It does. Sure. As long as you're shoveling your spot, it's your spot. Absolutely. Why are you so against this?
Because
it's the unwritten rule in the city.
People are way too entitled.
Sue, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I have seen city garbage trucks drive down the street and pick up the bicycles and the cones and the chairs and put them in the garbage.
But it, okay. Was it after the snow melt?
No.
Really?
The city believes that you cannot do that.
I don't know about that. The mayor was on Steve's show last week. I was listening to the mayor, and Steve asked him about it. It is an unwritten rule here in the city. I think they leave it for a few days because I've seen chairs since last Friday in my neighborhood.
Well, maybe it was just a bad street. I got one.
This street is too cluttered.
Thanks, Sue.
Love your show. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah. I don't think they're grabbing them right away.
I would be afraid if I put a chair out there that somebody would take my chair, like Sue said. I'm like, wait, I like that chair.
Because you're a hoarder and you have to keep everything?
Exactly.
Oh, I can't get rid of that chair. I'm going to use it in 5 years. Yeah. That's the Greek in you.
I might recover it and use it for something later. Why would I put it out in the street and get all snowy?
You get dibs until Streets and Sands picks up your chair. 312 area code. I don't know. Once it starts melting, I think it's over. Do we all agree on that? Let's take one more. Let's go to John. John?
How you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, buddy.
I live in suburbs north of Chicago, and most people have a driveway, so when the plow comes, it pushes the snow to the side. All they really have to worry about is the mouth of the driveway. But in Chicago, with no driveways, when the city says, "Oh yeah, we're gonna get around to the residential streets, we're gonna pour it and come through." Well, when they send a truck through, all they do is shove the snow against the car door. So those people are really got problems now.
Right.
I've seen cars where, okay, first of all, to start out with, there was a lot of snow on the ground. And now when the plow came through, it's about under their door lock of the car.
I understand, but where are they supposed to put the car if they don't have a garage? What are they going to do? That's the problem. That's how dibs started. Okay, since the snow is up to my car lock, I need to shovel it out. I'm going to hold this spot because I just spent the last 30 minutes shoveling.
Well, look at it like this. The dibs guy, the guy claiming that spot, that's going to occupy one car anyway. So it gets someone's going to park there, and it only fits one car. It might as well be the guy who shoveled it.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Okay. But the question is, when do dibs end?
Long into the season. I think if you pull out your car in the morning and you put your chairs there and you don't come back until the next day, then I think it's free game for anyone to take.
No, I think I can't remember the guy's name, but once it starts melting, it's over. I agree 100%. Once it goes over freezing, you're done.
Yeah.
So you're
like tomorrow when it's 40.
Can we just get this out there? Do you have a spot right now on the street somewhere?
I do not. I have a garage.
Okay.
But I shovel in front of my house in case someone wants to park there. I like to shovel.
You love it.
Right. It's a great
workout.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're a good teammate. You're
a
Chicagoan.
All right. Let's find out what's happening at the bottom of the hour. We have Hawks tickets coming up next.
Hawks.
little, yeah, come on. And get your Black Hawk tickets, yeah. Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your Black Hawk tickets, yeah.
312-981-7200. We have Blackhawk tickets to give away to see the Hawks take on Washington this Saturday, plus a pair of tickets to the postgame live show after the game in the Concert Club of the United Center Atrium, and you'll be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. All right. Here's the Hawker riddle, which I think is a little weak today, but I'm going to read it. You ready? From Evergreen Park, a funny actress and more, a Playboy model without clothes that she wore.
Uh-huh.
She had her own show and hosted The View. Did she?
Yeah.
The new kid on the block is her husband, too.
Okay, that is easy because I can never get these.
Me too.
And this I got this one easy. Okay.
312-981-7200 from Evergreen Park, a funny actress and more, a Playboy model without clothes that she wore. She had her own show and hosted The View. The new kid on the block is her husband, too.
That's a giveaway right there.
That's an easy one.
No idea.
You don't have a clue?
You don't have any idea? Come on.
Really?
I mean, I might, but probably not.
Okay.
I could like Google it.
312.
I'm too slow with these things.
981-7200. Let's go to. Who is that? Oh, I noticed that the phone reader is a little smaller today.
Nope.
Isn't it?
Small phone reader?
Let's go to Jim in
Glenview.
Jim in Glenview. Jim!
Hey!
What's the answer?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy is correct! Yes!
Jim, that was easy for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Real easy.
We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on Washington this Saturday, plus a pair of tickets to the postgame live show after the game in the Concert Club of the United Center Atrium, and you'll be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com.
Great.
Who are you taking, Jim?
I'm going to take my daughter.
Oh, that's nice.
What's her name?
Allison.
Allison Rode. That's great. Jim, hold on.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, buddy. Congratulations.
That was good.
Going to see the Hawks Saturday night.
Listen, I'm listening, I can't get these, right? They're so hard. this one, I heard three lines. I go, I know who that is.
Coming up at 7:40, we'll talk to Jeremy Roenick, who is live in South Korea for NBC. I think it's interesting that Roenick has held this job for years, and he's good on television. I mean, he was a great hockey player, played for the Blackhawks for years, had 500 goals, and now he's a commentator on NBC.
JR's your guy.
He is my guy. I mean, love him.
There are professional athletes that do become announcers on television, and they're really good at it.
Right. Yeah. He's good. Very personable.
Yeah.
Did you see him at the NHL All-Star game?
I did.
So they were in Tampa Bay, and there was like some sort of pirate convention happening with, like, so he was dressing up as a pirate and trying to get onto these boats, you know, going to pirate parties.
I didn't.
Yeah, you
got to
ask him about it.
He's jealous now because he wants to dress up as a pirate.
Everybody loves talking like a pirate. Headlines coming up next on 720 WGN.
Bouncing one over the leaf line. Murphy picked out a net air to Amani. Set him up.
Cool and at a bar, and I'm looking for some action. But like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh, and I'm looking death. Yo, what's up with LOC?
WGN. It is 7:40. If you haven't jumped on the Olympic bandwagon, we suggest you do.
I'm on it.
Chloe Kim, Trisha Mangan. I mean, it's
red.
It's in red. It's been fun. We'd like to welcome in the former Chicago Blackhawk, now covering the Olympics for NBC. It's our old buddy, number 27, live from South Korea. It's Jeremy Roenick. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Petey, what's going on, pal? How you doing?
It's, what time is it there? It's 10:40 at night, right?
Yeah, it's a little late, but you know, it's crazy over here. It's alive, it's electric. It's been a great experience so far. And the U.S. is we're hitting a pretty good stride right now. It's pretty awesome.
How likable is Chloe Kim winning the snowboarding? She won the gold.
Oh my God! Isn't she the cutest thing ever? And boy, but she's a beast when she gets on that pipe. She let it ride today, and especially when she wins the whole thing before she even has to take a third run, and a third run is still as good as anybody's. So you can tell that this girl is just an absolute beast on the board, right? Beast on the board.
And she's listening to music. I wonder what she's listening to. I mean,
you know what? We've watched that. We've watched that a lot, and especially on the downhill, the borders. They seem to kind of focus in, put their music on, and shut the world out, and just be able to focus in on what they're doing. It's pretty amazing what these athletes are able to do, and that music just helps them calm down. Right? It's so cool.
Hey, Jeremy, so the weather is affecting some of these events, and they're being postponed, and I've talked to some friends that are out there, and they're like, hey, it's just freezing. I'm standing out here at the Luge. Is it affecting really the games at all, in your opinion, or are people still going out, and they're still enjoying and having fun, except for the athletes who can't compete?
Yeah, it's you know, it is cold. There's no question about that. But I think it is warming up a little bit. So I think the next couple of days will be a lot better for the competition-wise. But the wind is what's really been affecting a lot of these athletes. I actually ran into the parents of one of the boarders this morning in Walk, and they're really disappointed that they did the downhill boarders, the freestyle, and they allowed them to keep going with the wind, because the wind is really, really affected the way that they can perform their tricks.
Oh yeah,
the downhill with the winds and you know, they get the eddies, the little the snow whirlpools right there that have been just affecting these skiers. So the wind has been the problem, not the cold.
Wow, you don't think about that stuff. Well, paint a picture for me. Are you at a hotel? Are you on campus? Where are you in South Korea?
Actually, Pete, we are very spoiled. There's no question about it. You know, NBC treats us very well. So we are in an absolutely beautiful, beautiful hotel on the coast. I have the best view of the ocean.
I thought he was roughing
beach.
It.
We have it made here. And you know, I think the one thing that's the toughest to get used to is the food here. Their culture is very... it's very raw. It's very eclectic. It's not easy to get used to, for sure.
Now, you went to two Olympics, right?
I did. One in Nagano, which again, okay, not too far from here, and the silver medal, which is right there in our home country there in Utah.
Well, paint a picture for me, because they have the Olympic campus. Is it like a college campus? Are there dorm rooms? What's it like for the athletes?
It is very similar to a college campus. It is the Olympic Village. The Olympic Village has what they call dorm rooms, and they're made for about four athletes. So there's two or three rooms per kind of, would you say, little apartment, and you know that. They have their commissary, which you can go into and get everything from McDonald's all the way to, you know, to sushi. So, yeah, they're taken care of very well in the Olympic Village, the athletes are.
That's nice. We're talking with Jeremy Roenick, who's live over in South Korea. When do the men's hockey team compete? I saw the picture that you posted on Instagram. They look like high schoolers. They look so young.
Isn't it amazing?
Wow.
I know, like, yeah, they all look like they should be in high school. But these, and a few of them aren't too far removed from high school. There's three or four kids that are in college that are on this team that are actually a couple I think, highlights to watch. Ryan Donato out of Harvard, and we had the first African-American hockey player ever to compete for the U.S. in hockey, and that's it's Jordan Greenway, who is a tremendous athlete and a tremendous competitor, and just a great, great guy. He's 6'7", 247 pounds, just a beast of a man, and you just watch this guy play, and So we got some really fun people to be watching after. So that they start tomorrow at 9 o'clock local time, which I think is probably around 7 o'clock your time in Chicago. So you guys will have prime time action waking up to watch the Americans play tomorrow.
Nice. Carm, you want to say hello to Jeremy Roenick?
Jeremy, good morning. Do you miss NHL players in the Olympics, JR? What do you think?
You know, that's a great question. I do. I really wish that there was, that NHL guys were in, because it's the Olympics. And I look at the Olympics as the best athletes in their chosen sport. And for hockey players, NHL players are the best players in hockey. And to have them not here is definitely a buzzkill. But still, it does open up opportunities and storylines that are pretty cool this year. So wherever there's a negative, there's a positive. And I think these kids are going to take advantage of an opportunity that they never thought that they would have to carve, a little piece of what we're going to see in the future from them. Because a lot of these guys that you'll see in this next 2 weeks will be playing in the National Hockey League probably before season's end.
Jeremy, so the women's hockey team favored to win gold. I know they're playing, they won the first game, I think, versus Finland. They're playing right now versus Russia.
Yeah, they're up 4-0 right now over Russia.
Wow.
And a team that I really have been looking forward to watching. Just a great bunch of girls. I should say women. You can't say girls anymore, which is probably the proper way to say it. And they are they're absolutely tremendous competitors, and they've been back-to-back silvers. And I know the captain, Megan Duggan, and Amanda Kessel, and Hillary Knight, three of the KG veterans of the U.S. team, are really looking forward to getting the opportunity to break that curse and get that gold away from the Canadians. So it looks like it's going to be a matchup between America and the USA and Canadians again for that gold medal game. So that's another great thing to look forward to at some point in this Olympics.
Oh, that's
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We talked to Olympic skier Trisha Mangan last hour, and she was so thrilled to be representing her country over there in South Korea. You're an ambassador of the United States. You're on NBC, and this is seen all over the world. I mean, you got to be pumped.
It is. Well, listen, this is the biggest stage in sports. There's no question. In North America, it's the Stanley Cup. But when it comes to at sports in general, you can't have a bigger platform than the Olympics. And to have all these different countries represented, to experience different cultures like we are here in Korea, it's really a special thing. And whether you're playing or you're here watching or you're here covering it for television or radio, it really is a special thing, and one that I'm really proud of, and I know everybody else here that represents whatever organization they work for. It's just a real treat to be a part of.
Hey, JR, real quick, what's wrong with the Blackhawks? A lot of Hawks fans out there very concerned. What do you do with this roster if you're Stan Bowman?
Yeah, don't think I'm not. I'm over here not following what's going on back there. Again, they just got ripped by the worst team in the National Hockey League, the Arizona Coyotes. That things are really bad when you're last in the Central and you lose to the lowest team in the National Hockey League, the Arizona Coyotes. And there's problems. I think I just don't think that the young kids are developing as fast as they should be. I think their young defensemen make way too many mistakes, and the fact that that you have Corey Crawford that's injured, who is the key of their team and the backbone of their team, is too much of a hurdle to have to overcome. It's too bad. And for some reason, Johnny Toews seems a little frustrated. I think Saad has not been the player that everybody expected coming back. Once they bounce back and find their scoring touch again, the team will be better. But as of right now, it just seems that it's not going their way. And I just hope that they don't do something crazy like firing their coach, Quenneville. He's one of the best ever in the history of the game. And, you know, it's not more his fault as it is, I think, just some of the youth not developing as fast as they should be.
I couldn't agree more. Jeremy Roenick live over in South Korea. You can check him out on NBC. JR, you can go to bed now.
Oh, you're the best, Petey.
Thanks.
And I'm sure you'll see me doing something crazy over here at some point. But it's a lot of fun. You guys are missing some crazy, crazy stuff. I highly suggest if you ever get a chance to come over here, you got to take advantage of it because these people here are so accommodating. They're so great, and they make you feel very, very welcome here in Korea. It's been great.
That's awesome.
That's Jeremy great. Running. Have fun, Jeremy.
Thanks, JR.
Thanks, you guys. Okay. All right. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. Remember, it's 10 to 11 there, yeah. And he's got to get up at 6 a.m. So good for him. That's nice. By the way, Fight for Air Climb, if you'd like to register, go to WGNradio.com/events and look for Fight for Air Climb, or you can go to fightforairclimb.org. Is anyone doing the Fight for Air Climb?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I do it most years.
Right. Are you training right now?
Are you on Dave's team?
I'm on Dave's team.
Yeah. Usually,
I have to be on Dave's team. Are you kidding me?
Usually Dave asks me. He didn't ask me this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask you.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Aren't you a record holder?
I am. Thank you, Joe.
Are you on Patty's team?
I am not on Patty's team. No one asked.
Wow.
I do stairs twice a week.
You do love the
stairs. Well, then we're asking you right now. Be on Dave and it to win it team.
Does he have enough space on the team?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's always space.
Oh, well, you're
start your own team, Pete.
What about the host of Living Healthy Chicago?
I would love to do it. I don't do it. For some reason, every year this happens, and one year I had the flu, and then the next year, every year I don't do it.
Yeah. Last year I was in Florida, so I had an excuse.
I would love to.
I've
not
back
done it
the day before. Just do it. And you don't really have to train. If you're in shape, you can do it. Just
let me do it on the side. I ran up the
you
towers.
You called the people.
I did. Yeah. I'm very competitive, Jay. I like to win.
And you can't beat the firefighters, though. Sorry, Pete. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen.
You know, Pete, there's no I in team, but there is in win, buddy. That's what you're about.
There you go.
They thought I was crazy, too, but I went there leading up to it
twice
a week.
All right, you're signing up today. You're doing it.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's do it. I'll do it.
Really?
All right. Yeah, for sure I'll do it.
This is what Jane will do. You'll say yes, and the day before it's like, I can't do it.
No,
Pete. You're
really
on your own.
I'd like to do it. Yes, I would like to do it.
And the guys from Chicago Fire show up, right?
Yeah. Do they count as the firefighters that we can't beat? They are. They play one on TV.
I don't think they wear the gear. Do they? Do they wear the gear?
I don't think so, no.
They don't. They just show up.
There's plenty of firefighters
that do
show up, though.
Out of respect for the firefighters, yes. Yeah. And the firefighters wear the gear, and they climb in the gear.
They're amazing. They go first.
They pass you up on the stairs, and you're like, oh, boy.
The best part of the whole thing is Dean Richards hanging out afterwards. You get to see Dean. He celebrates you like you just won the Olympics.
Right.
Come here and sit with me.
Get over here. And you're hugging Uncle Dean.
And then we go have Bloody Marys.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yes.
Speaking of Uncle Dean, he is coming up next after news on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
It's 8:12. Let's bring in our old buddy, Dean Richards from WGN TV. How are you?
My favorite texter, Pete McMurray.
Oh, no. Dean, does he blow up your phone?
All the time. He's texting me all the time.
Here's the deal. If I get someone's phone number, that's how I communicate, especially if you're on the radio. I'm going to text you.
I'm not complaining.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Well,
most people do, Dean.
I enjoy it.
By the way, I've known Dean forever.
Forever.
For a long time.
All right.
Yeah. I think we met originally at a Cub game, I want to say, years ago.
Wow.
You don't remember that.
Before texting was invented.
Yes. I don't remember that. I would say we said hello to each other at different things. But the first time that really I knew Pete was when our Bozo Garden race special was first premiered 12, 13 years ago, something like that. And Pete was nice enough to invite me on his show then to talk about it
right
for a pretty lengthy time.
I grew up watching Bozo in Peoria, and I used to send in postcards. And now that I have seen the studio and been to WGN.
Yeah, pretty disappointing, isn't
there's,
it?
There's maybe 30 people that can fit in that studio. No wonder. I was a crushed kid.
There were a couple of hundred. You could get a couple of hundred in there. I mean, the grandstands are gone now, so you don't get a full. But there were full grandstands in there. The cast of thousands, as they were known.
That
might have been a slight exaggeration.
70 people.
But it was a couple of hundred people that got in there.
Gosh, I love that show.
But Pete was nice enough to invite me on, and was at least pretending to be enthusiastic about.
I'm serious. I watched it every day. Yeah. I'd love when they'd have their giggle fits.
Oh, when the performers would
right.
inside
Bozo, Cookie, or Wizzo would wee, me, 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 me. And then they'd just start cracking
was
up.
Was that your duty, duty, duty?
That was it.
Wow.
I love it.
Scary. Yep. And people wonder why we are the way we are as mm-hmm. adults.
You're right.
All you got to do is
Bozo.
Look back at what we did and watched as children, and that says it all.
Mm-hmm.
That says the whole thing.
Family classics every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Happy to have brought that back also around Christmas time.
My mother used to make us watch that every Sunday, and I've seen every Errol Flynn
movie. That's right. That's when a movie was a movie, my mm-hmm. friend.
Yeah. Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy.
None of that right, half out of focus, naughty train going into a tunnel, kind of naughty filming.
Funny.
That's when a movie was a movie.
Right, exactly.
Abbott and Costello, Mickey Rooney, Spencer Tracy.
Yes. Bob Hope.
Boys Town was my favorite.
I mean, think about how talented Bob Hope was. He could sing, dance. He was a comedian.
Did you see the documentary? There was recently a documentary on Channel 11, because when I'm not watching Channel 9, that's all I watch, public television, because no one loves a fundraising pledge more than I do.
Uh-huh.
And in between fundraising begging, they happened to do a Bob Hope documentary. And it was great because, you know, I think if you're of a certain age, you only remember the later Bob Hope.
Mm-hmm. USO.
I mean, even later than that, when he was much older and the jokes were really bad and really corny and he was badly reading them off of cue cards. And, you know, if you only know Bob Hope from that era, you have completely missed what a magnificent performer he was, as you've said, both on radio, on the vaudeville stage,
right.
in theater, in movies, with the Bing Crosby movies and many more. He was an amazingly talented guy. And then, of course, you know, donated his services to the armed forces and his incredible work with that. But he was much more than, you know, doing bad specials, reading cue cards, or even worse, he did a series of commercials for Kmart. Do you remember?
Oh.
It's like one of the last things he did. He was, you know.
I don't remember the Kmart commercials.
I want to see this documentary you're talking about.
The documentary was great. I want to say it was American Masters. I might be wrong on that.
Well, who nowadays could sing, dance, is that triple threat like a Bob Hope or a Danny Kaye or a Bing Crosby?
JT.
Nowadays.
Yeah, JT.
Yeah, but he hasn't really done any movies lately. What has he done?
He's a really good actor.
Social Network?
He was in Social Network.
Yeah, but that was years ago. I agree. I loved him in that.
He's had small roles and even a couple of big roles, but he's a good actor, but not on the scale that Pete is talking about.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No one talks about Danny Kaye anymore. Danny Kaye was great.
Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye was amazing.
He was so
amazing. That's
our
look back.
It was an American Masters documentary that they did on PBS called This Is Bob Hope. If they run it again or if you see that it becomes available, watch it. Because
I'm going to look for it on demand.
It's fantastic. And if you do, I've got this PBS coffee mug that we can offer.
Or a small pledge.
Dean, coming up, we're going to talk about Chance the Rapper. He's got a documentary debuting. Seinfeld is being sued. Interesting.
I know.
And the SEAL sex abuse case, we'll talk about that coming up with Dean. But first, let's
Do you guys have punchkis there, by the way?
We don't. We talked about
Dean.
It earlier. No one delivered any.
This is a sad day in American broadcasting.
You don't have any either?
We don't have any either.
Because they gave them all last week because they wanted to promote them. Right. But today is the day I want to eat it.
Normally, at any radio or TV station on Punchki Day, there are Punchkis everywhere.
Nothing.
And so, you know, I'm getting ready for work, you know, and I bring like a little, you know, banana or
you're thinking you're going to have a punchki.
Have a snack. It's like, I'm not going to bring anything today. Certainly, there'll be 4,000 punchkis at the station today.
Nothing.
Nada.
Not a one.
How great is the punchki with a cup of coffee?
I do enjoy.
I know. We get to have this one day a year.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite kind?
Oh, the punchki?
Yep.
Ooh. Something with like the cherry in the inside, raspberry.
Cherry raspberries.
Good. Yes, raspberry.
Raspberry's great. How do you go wrong with that?
I like the raspberry or the ones with actual fresh fruit inside.
Listen, Carm, you're not a punchki guy?
I gotta admit, I'd like to cut
it's
it
Fat Tuesday.
And eat a piece of every punchki. I think they're try them all.
Too messy.
I can't
eat them. Oh, stop it.
I feel like a lead ball.
Oh, cut it out, people. It's one day a year.
You don't have to eat 10 of them.
Can't eat.
Just have a little bite of one.
All right, Dean, hold on. We're going to check in with Ryan Burrow. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Back with Dean Richards at 8:23. Chance the Rapper has a documentary. Can you tell us about it?
Well, he's not in it, but he executive produced it, along with former Chicago Bull and former Chicago native. Well, I guess he's still a Chicago native, a former resident of the city of Chicago, Dwayne Wade.
Oh.
They worked on this together. Dwayne Wade has long talked about how basketball saved his life, that he very easily could have become a victim of the streets except for basketball.
Sure.
You know, Chance the Rapper is all about that, all about, you know, youth, working with young people to show them that there are things other than the streets and other than getting in trouble through his youth empowerment organization called Social Works. So these two executive produced this documentary that follows a couple of students in particular from Orr Academy High School on their basketball team, Tyquan Greer and Marquise Pryor, you know, who have easily could have gone down the wrong path,
sure, but
except for the their coach, Lou Adams, went in a more positive direction. It's a very inspiring film. Chance was in Chicago last night. All the film's subjects, the coach, the students, were all part of a big panel discussion at a Black History Month Film Festival screening of the movie, which will officially open on February the 24th. But
I love Chance the Rapper.
Nonstop impressed with Chance the Rapper. He talks the talk. He walks the walk.
Yep.
He is the real deal. And
comes back to Chicago, works in the communities, gives money.
He gives back. And, Dean, that's a great story, too, because that Orr High School basketball team went on to be state champs because of that coach.
Exactly right.
Yeah. By the way, trivia, where did D. Wade go to high school?
CVS.
Richards. Dean Richards.
Harold Richards High School in Oak Lawn.
Yes.
Which I'm trying to get them to change their name to Dean Richards High School.
Richards,
they
yes.
should. It's been Harold Richards for way too long.
I have a niece and nephew that go there, and every time I go there, I've gone to some of their events at the school and embarrass my niece and nephew all the time when I say that this, you know, this was actually called Dean Richards High School, and they changed it.
They changed
it. I didn't know that he went to high school in Oak Lawn.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he was CVS, like Chris Zorich and Dick Butkus. And
right. Yeah. You'd think that.
Bernie Allen and Dean Richards.
And Dean Richards. Seinfeld's being sued by whom?
Seinfeld is being sued by a former, I guess you might call, producer on the show. It's a guy who is claiming that he was the one who created this concept. Comedians drinking coffee, comedians in cars getting coffee is what it's now called on Netflix. Now that it's become a super popular series, the guy's name is Christian Charles. Says he pitched the idea to Seinfeld back in 2002. Seinfeld said no. Contacted him again years later. They shot a pilot, and you know the rest is history. The show is super successful now. This guy, Charles, says that he was dumped from the show when he was asked to be paid an ownership interest in the show. Seinfeld's attorney is calling the lawsuit delusional.
Interesting.
I mean, aren't there a million ideas like that?
Do you get like a ton of money if you say, hey, you know what would be a good idea? Because I do that about 20 times a day.
Most of them star. Would you tune in to Frank Smith having conversations with coffee in a car?
No, it's got to be Seinfeld.
It's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes the series.
But I think that he's making the point that this was his idea.
His idea, so he wants a little piece of the pie.
So he wants a little piece of the action.
But like what you said, how much money is he really going to make?
Seinfeld makes $750,000 per episode.
Oh, so if he takes just a little piece of that, he gets some money.
I don't know how much the guy is trying to get.
$750, Dean?
Per episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Driving around in a car.
Not dollars.
Is that what I get when I fill in here?
And it's one of his cars. Have you guys seen it online?
Yeah, I've seen just a little clip of it. I haven't seen a whole
It's funny. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They drive her in the car, and then they go to a coffee shop, and they yuck it up. I mean, it's good.
I can see Carmen doing it, something like that.
Dean, where do you rank Jerry, all-time comedian, TV, whatever, wherever you want to put it, whatever category you're putting him in?
He's in my top 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know who would be number one. I'd have to think about it a little more, but... He's definitely in my top 20. I hear his stand-up fairly often. I tune into the Comedy Channel on satellite every once in a while when I'm not listening to WGN, of course.
Uh-huh. Right. Sure.
They play a lot of Seinfeld, and his stand-up is really rather brilliant.
Larry or Jerry?
What do you mean, Larry or Jerry?
I mean, are we going Larry David or are we going Jerry Seinfeld?
I love Kerr, but after a while, Larry kind of gets on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
I love Larry, too.
And Dean, I know you grew up in a different time, and you'll probably say Mary Tyler Moore, but the greatest sitcom in the history of television, Seinfeld, in my opinion.
Wow. Big statement.
Okay, what else is there?
Dick Van Dyke Show.
Cosby Show. Mm-hmm.
Cosby, okay.
227.
Seinfeld was good.
Every week. I mean, it changed your culture. It changed how you spoke.
But so did the Dick Van Dyke Show.
So did The Simpsons.
Good times.
Florida. You're right.
Home Improvement.
This is the lightning round.
I'm going to say Seinfeld doesn't hold up as well as some of the others.
Really?
I watch him every once in a while.
I can jump right in.
Can you?
All right.
Maybe it's George's turtlenecks.
Something
you can't
for everyone.
Facts
exactly.
of life.
Yada, yada, yada.
Seal. The sex abuse case was dropped.
It was dropped. Not enough, according to the L.A. district attorney, not enough evidence, no witnesses. The neighbor who came over to borrow his salad spinner, who hasn't done that with their neighbor, said that he made the moves on her when she came over to borrow a salad spinner.
Come on.
Seal has denied it from the get-go, and yesterday the L.A. district attorney's office agreed.
Don't let people in your house. That's the bottom line.
Don't borrow someone's salad spinner.
I don't even know what that is.
What do you do?
Personal. That's when you like clean your lettuce and it's all wet.
Jane's like, I have one. She's mouthing it to me and pointing to herself. I have one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I do too.
Well, Dean said it's a wet salad. You put it in there, you spin it, and dries it up.
Yeah.
You don't put it in a strainer?
Well, if you've got five hours to wait for everything to drip off.
Exactly.
Celebrity deaths?
He puts it in the dryer. He goes down to the laundry room.
Throw it in the microwave.
He's blowing
just
at it.
Just as good.
Yeah. What was your next story?
Celebrity deaths.
Oh, celebrity deaths. This is sad. Yeah, we've got, we've got one of the great, we're going to go back for some classic performers. First, one of the great crooners of all time. This is the guy that Sinatra said had the best pipes in the business. Listen to a little of Vic Damone. A one, a two.
We don't have Vic Damone, unfortunately.
We don't?
It's not working for some reason. Joe's giving me the sign.
All right. We'll just
sing a couple bars.
We'll just pass on these.
My mother, I forgot to call her when I heard Vic Damone passed away. She was a big Vic Damone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was huge. He played all the big shows, all the big nightclubs. Was in movies, passed away 89 years old yesterday.
Kind of in that whole genre.
Yeah.
Now, do you know the comedian Marty Allen?
Remind me what he's been in.
He mostly did stand-up. He first was part of a duo called Allen and Rossi. He was sort of this bug-eyed, childlike character whose trademark line was, "Hello there!"
No relation to Marty Feldman?
Except for the bug eye.
I think if you saw him, you know who he was, Pete.
If you saw him, you might know who he was. He was 95 years old. He passed away.
That's a great run.
That's not a bad run.
That's great.
And also, the country singer Daryl Singletary who's had quite a few hits in a very short career. He passed away yesterday. Cause of death not known. He was only 46 years old.
He was pretty young.
Yeah, he was only 46.
Yeah. That's real sad.
So that all three of those yesterday.
Wow. Dean, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
You keep singing. I'll ask a question. I'm curious, the Olympics, we see a lot of celebrity sightings when we have the Super Bowl and the World Series and Stanley Cup. Do we have any Olympic celebrity sightings?
I have not been watching religiously, but when I have not seen any of these celebrities.
I don't see the celebrities going to South Korea.
Because they're not that big of a deal in South Korea.
Yeah.
Unless they're a worldwide celebrity. Dean, I would just imagine that because you have your ear to all of the things that are going
on. Yes, I do.
That
literally.
You don't even have to watch. Somebody would just whisper and be like, hey, did you know that Jennifer Aniston is at the Olympics?
I've been looking for, you know, to see if there's any little side stories that's on my beat, and I have not seen any.
Interesting.
Mr. T tweeted about curling.
But it wasn't clear if Mr. T was there. I did
not. Mr. T's not going to South Korea.
I think he's watching. He did a very, very extensive series of tweets about curling. And I thought, wow, that's insane that Mr. T is in South Korea. But it wasn't clear that he was in South Korea. I think he was in his living room.
He was, yes.
Watching as many of us were, the excitement that is curling.
Dean, it's going to be a treat tomorrow. Steve will be on live from Vegas with us. So it'll be all of us with Steve.
With Steve?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we really need him?
That's going to be interesting.
I think this was fairly entertaining today.
It's always fun.
I don't think we need to bring a Steve into this. We seem to have a nice time by ourselves.
You can talk to the powers that be.
Dad's away. Let's just have some fun.
Yes.
Call up Larry Ward. Todd Manley.
About.
Thank you, Dean.
See you guys.
Thanks, Dean.
Coming up next, we'll check headlines, and comedian Pat McGann will be in studio in about 7 minutes. Okay. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I've been stuck in motion,
moving too fast. 844, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve, tonight doing the Blackhawks pregame. I'll be on with Justin at 7, pregame at 8:30. Jane is here. Carm's here, and our next guest is a very funny man. He loves pizza and chocolate chip cookies. He's performing at Zany's this week. You can go to Zany's.com for tickets. Our old buddy Pat McGann. It's great to see you, man.
Good to see you, Pete. Good morning.
Are you giving up pizza and chocolate chip cookies for Lynn?
No. I don't think I'm giving up anything. I don't know. I haven't come up with anything yet.
You should go to confession for that statement.
You know, we're going to talk to the Cardinal later, and I'm going to ask him if we have to give up.
There's nothing more Catholic than just making your own rules, right? Like bending them to accommodate. I'll do something positive. That's what people say now, too, right? I'm not giving anything up, but I'm going to do something positive and make more of an impact. Well, it's about sacrifice, but I'm... switch the rules for me. Like, shouldn't you always do something positive? It's kind of... Are you into it still? Like, the no meat?
I have a mother that goes to church every single day, and I have a sister that is a sister. So, yes, I do. I look at it as a diet plan.
Yeah.
So I give up almost everything.
I just love the people that are...
Diet.
No meat on Friday, and then they're walking in the Shaw's Crab House. Way to sacrifice.
It's a huge sacrifice. So am I the only one giving up stuff for Lent on this show?
Yeah, I haven't decided what I'm going to give up.
So, what are you giving up?
I'm giving up pizza because I feel like I eat it all the time. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Seriously. I gave up.
I gave up booze. What are you giving up? Pizza.
I gave up booze 2 years ago.
So that's legit.
And I was out of it in a week and a half.
Really?
It's like everybody called me as soon as Lent started because the Harry Caray toast is always the day after Ash Wednesday, it seems like. And so I'm there at Harry Caray's drinking beer. I'm like, I'll go to confession. I'll do something good.
When you try and like take a break from drinking, that's when you realize
how much you drink.
How often you're around it.
Just do something good instead of giving something up. That's my motto.
Did you not hear the first part of the conversation?
No. I don't know. I tried to give up swearing, too. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you don't swear, Pete. That's like giving up nothing.
I left my house today at 4:30 in the morning with my hand on the horn. You drive around in the city, you're cussing at people. because they're not driving fast enough or paying attention.
That's something I could work on.
Okay.
I don't
see you as a swearer. I don't see you as a drinker. Right. I see you as so perfect. Oh, not that anything is...
Thank you. That's what I want to hear.
That swearing or pizza doesn't, you know.
McGann's looking at me like, no. Besides doing Zanies this week, you're opening for Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes.
One of the funniest comedians today.
Yeah, he is a beast. Just a monster.
How did you two hook up?
We met actually at Zanies when I was a house MC there, and he was coming through. And then when he grew out of Zanies and started doing, he taped a Showtime special here a few years ago.
Right.
And I opened for him there. So then we kind of get a call sometimes or an email when he was in the area. And then we were both booked for a corporate gig for Kohl's. Kohl's corporate.
The department store?
Yeah. They had a big conference down in Orlando. And he was the main act. And then they booked me to open. And then so there we were kind of working together again. And then he started.
Two Chicago guys. He grew up in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, he's Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
So he's been great to me now. Now I've done the last year, probably I don't know how many dates with him. Probably 50 dates. And
well, let's go back to the Kohl's thing. You get free clothes for that? I mean, socks, pair of pants?
He loves Kohl's, by the way.
Really?
This is why he's
everything's 40 to 60% off all the time.
And then you get bucks.
It's just some great deals.
Crazy.
My mom's always like, you got to get to Kohl's. They're having an eye. If you have eyebrows, they're going to be 10% off.
You're not going to believe it. It's just crazy. And then they sell the Kind bars now at the checkout because you're in line for so long and you want something to eat. A little snack. I saw you open for Sebastian at the Chicago Theater. That was 2 years ago?
It was, yes. Yeah, it was. No, a year and a half.
Okay. I immediately sent you a text after the show because...
Because I wasn't dressed up enough.
You were wearing jeans and a flannel? Was that right?
Was not wearing a flannel.
So he texted you and said, what are you wearing on stage?
So the first night, I wore a suit because I thought Chicago Theater and boom.
Yeah.
And Sebastian was just...
It's a big deal.
He's a little bit more casual.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I'm not going to wear a suit if he's not wearing a suit. So I switched.
Just wear your comfy clothes.
Just be comfortable.
Oh. And Sebastian comes
out. And Pete
out
was like highly offended.
No, what else did I say? I said you brought down the house. You killed it that night.
Oh, it was fun. That was, I was able to do some Chicago stuff that I've kind of, being a Chicago, comic from Chicago, I've developed some Chicago material, and that's a little bit of cheating. It's
of
like
course.
A home game.
No, it's okay.
It was great. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward. We're doing it again in March.
I can't wait. I hope to get in there.
you're not going to get let
it's
in.
It's sold out in about
wear?
30 seconds.
Yeah.
What are you going to wear?
What are you going to wear?
He's taping a special in April. We're doing Radio City.
Wow.
He sold out 6 shows there. We're doing Air Canada Center in Toronto. He sold that out. 20,000 people.
Wow. That's impressive. Wow.
Yeah,
he's a funny dude.
Yeah.
I met him probably when you met him, when he was coming up, and now it's just, I don't get a text back.
Very good.
You can ask him about that. we're going to take a quick break, but you and I are doing a cancer fundraiser.
Yes.
Coming up next month that we're going to talk about.
March 8th, right?
Yeah.
In LaGrange.
Yes. In just a second. Pat McGann's here. Go to Pat McGann. What's your website?
Pat McGann Comedy.
PatMcGannComedy.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:55 in studio with us is Pat McGann performing at Zanies this week. Go to Zanies.com for tickets. He'll also be performing at Comedy for Cancer on Thursday, March 8th at the LaGrange Theater. You can go to GoombayBash.com/Comedy for Cancer for tickets. I'm going to be hosting this event, Pat.
Yes, looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Now, as a host, do I need to write material?
You can. Just do your thing.
What's my thing? I mean,
you're Pete McMurray.
Yeah, but I have you. I got
come on,
Annabella
do an
Ball.
Auto show read.
I got Annabella Ball and Mike Toomey.
Just bring that script. That'll be fine.
I need material. You got to write something for me.
No, I'll help you.
I'm not gonna leave.
You'll just come
give
out.
You my good
I
material.
Think you just be a host, Pete, and you let the funny people be funny. Yeah.
All right.
You've done this before.
I know, but I don't know if I've opened for 3 comedians.
Yeah, then bring some jokes.
Okay.
We'll talk.
All right. Can we exchange text messages?
Yeah.
Okay, I like this.
You can just base it on your personal life, right?
Right.
All these funny things with your wife that you talk about?
All the proceeds go to the H Foundation, GoombayBash.com. Have you guys been to the Goombay Bash at Navy
Pier? I have not.
I have.
Well, we have a mutual friend that got me connected to this, so I'm looking forward to it. I heard great things about the foundation, and happy to be a part of it.
It goes to fund research for cancer here in Chicago at Lurie's Cancer Center. It's unbelievable.
So this is the Goombe Bash, which happens at Navy Pier.
Yes.
This is not in place of it. This is in addition to.
Yes.
I love that.
Comedy for Cancer. Great. To remind people that the Goombe Bash is coming up during the summertime. So you're going to help me with material.
Yes.
Okay.
I will definitely help.
Three kids. How are things going?
Good. Crazy.
Okay. You're on the road?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's not bad.
Like, and your wife hates
one or two nights. Yeah.
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. What'd you get her?
I'm working on it. I just got back in town.
You need to get something.
Yeah, we'll go out.
Well, you know, you're up early now, so you can just go right down the street. There's a bunch of stores on Michigan
Avenue.
They're
just opening up for me right now.
Yeah.
I'll go out there. And
I mean, after three kids, the romance is gone. Come on.
It's not gone, but it's, you know, it's just different. It's
here
about
is,
the kids.
Here is date night with my wife. It's like, hey, do you want to meet at 9:30 and watch an episode of something on Netflix? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll see you then.
Right.
That's great.
That's nice.
Right.
We're not even there. If we're home, it's not happening.
But there's that calm when all the kids go to bed and it's like, okay. And you don't really want to talk to your spouse. You just kind of want to sit there and quiet, maybe read.
Right.
Or watch a show like Bloodline and catch up. It's nice.
We like going out, but it's like we go out with other couples a lot, and that's always, you know,
fill the conversation. I like that.
Married couples just compete with how tired you are. That's like everyone's like, we're exhausted. It's like, then why are we here? Why don't we just go home
and sleep
and lay down? But then the drinks start coming, and then all the
get
women
ramped up.
All the women at the end of the table start making like bigger plans. You know, like, we're talking about going to Australia down here. Just the couples. It's like, that's never gonna. It took us 6 months to put this dinner together. Three couples canceled today.
It never works.
No.
Do you ever have those when the guy calls you up and says, hey, let's have a few drinks, and next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, ah, I can go all night.
Yes.
Then you wake up the next day, I will never go out that late ever again.
Last night I did Zany's, and a buddy came in, a comic, Kevin Bozeman, who's like
very
just
funny.
A great.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous comedian, but also like a great friend. I didn't know he was coming. He just like popped in, and then so it's like your plans changed. Like, I was going home. I was going to bed. And all of a sudden I'm like, he's like, you want to get some food? And we're talking in the back of the comedy club and go out. It's just like, you just get sucked in, right?
Right. And it's so much fun.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's fun at the time, but the next morning we have to get up early. The back of your head, you're like, I gotta get home. And you're like, but this is great. Yeah, I want to see you, and let's go out to eat and have a couple drinks.
I love it. So I'll see you March 8th, and you're going to help me write material.
Yes.
I love
it's
it.
It's going to be great.
Zanies.com and your website again, opening for Sebastian next month. What is here? April?
We're at the Chicago Theater the first weekend in March, and then the second weekend we're at the Rosemont Theater.
That's right. Because he's got family out there, and he doesn't want to waste all the tickets downtown.
I think those are all probably sold out, but I'm going to be at Zany's tonight and then tomorrow for Valentine's Day. Great date night.
Right.
Come on out.
Yeah.
Sounds like I just swore. just bleep me out.
That's the beep at the
Valentine's
top of the hour.
Valentine's Day is a bad
We're joined in by CLTV. You can wave to the camera there. Pat McGann, thanks for coming in, man. It's
thanks
good
for
to
having
see you.
Guys.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 9:13. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Very special guest in studio with us. Jane, you love food.
I love food. I love cooking. I love talking about
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's the Mediterranean blood. I'm Lebanese. You're Greek. You associate food and love together.
And happiness.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. In studio with us is the executive chef from Portsmouth on 660 North State Street. You can go to portsmithchicago.com for details. Chef Nate Kessler. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Hensler, but
Hensler. I'm sorry, Hensler.
Right. We changed the name when we came to Chicago.
When did you make this? You brought in fish and chips this morning.
I made this morning. Got up early, cooked this morning, and carried it over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, you made it happen.
I did. Yeah. You guys called me last night. I guess I'll talk about the dish. We get Atlantic halibut from Foley's Fish in Boston. We get that 3 times a week. This is one of our most popular dishes. We're serving it tomorrow for Valentine's Day. A smaller version. It's not your typical fish and chips. It's sort of scaled with little potato scales and cooked in butter and served with tartar sauce and some malt vinegar jus.
How do you come up with this?
Malt vinegars, you?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like the with when you have fish and it's chips in New England, you have malt vinegar and tartar sauce, so we just sort of made it a little bit more adult.
It is not your typical fish and chips, because when I knew you were bringing this in, I was like, oh, a big fried piece of fish and fried chip, and then you bring this in, it looks like a lovely, like, scalloped, you know, pie of fish fillet. It's beautiful.
Sort of looks like a fish.
Yeah, it looks like a heart,
it does,
too,
with scales.
Valentine's Day.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
How do you come up with these recipes?
So, I mean, this dish is, this style of making potatoes like this is really classic. I think Paul Bocuse might have come up with it. It's very old. But I just wanted to do a dish that was sort of near to me, which is, you know, fish and chips, being from New Hampshire.
Right.
And just making it something that is a little bit more elevated and is very photogenic and, you know, people can relate to.
Is it true that you grew up watching PBS food shows? That's how you got into it?
I'm a huge Julia Child fan, Jacques Pepin.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Yeah.
That was why I got into it. When I was in Washington, D.C., and I went to they have Julia Child's kitchen there and got a little choked up. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to go check it
out. I mean, that's serious stuff.
Cool. Love her.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're a kid. You've got four stations to watch, one of them being PBS, and you're watching all these cooking shows. A lot of chefs were like, oh, I was a punk rocker, and then I got into cooking. You've been cooking since you were, like, seven.
Yeah, since I was a little kid. It wasn't popular to be the little kid making bread and trying to make crepe Suzette, you know, while his friends were out, like, you know, playing basketball outside. But they were nice to me, and luckily there was a couple of good culinary schools near where I grew up, and you know, just it's always something I love to do.
It's interesting because kids nowadays, we watch the Food Network and food shows all the time.
Yeah.
Top Chef, you name it. We're watching it. I have a 12-year-old, and he's like, okay, Dad, I think we can make this.
Nice.
I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, Pete, tell him about Charlie, because Pete's son, I mean, he writes recipes, he cooks dinner most nights.
Well, it's very creative for kids nowadays. I grew up watching MTV. I don't know about you, but nowadays, they want to watch food shows, and they want to invite their friends over and make something, or let's make a homemade pizza.
That's great.
What do you mean, homemade pizza? Let's just get a frozen one. No, let's make a homemade pizza and really make the dough.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son doesn't like to cook. My daughter does like to cook, but I think it's great. It's great for the business. It's good that, you know, we're eating food that we're cooking. It's better for the country. It's better for our health.
Yeah. Do you feel like Chicago is a very food town? A lot of foodies coming in. Do you feel like you're getting judged a lot?
Constantly, yes. With Yelp and Open Table.
Right.
It's just, everyone's an expert, you know.
I mean, there's so many restaurants that open up. You get one chance with somebody, you got to have quality food or you're done.
You got to be consistent. You have to, when you do make a mistake, you have to recognize it. You have to, you know, try and reconcile with the guest any way you can.
Right.
Every guest is special, so.
I mean, everybody's going to make a mistake. If it's not you, it's somebody on your staff, there's going to be a mistake. And most people, I feel like, are going to give you a second chance. But there's that one person that's just angry.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's tough, especially, you know, not to bash Yelp, but you everybody,
Yelp is tough for
everybody's an expert.
Restaurant owners,
and you really have to go out of your way to make sure that people are made to feel special. And all I can do is cook the food, make sure it's seasoned, and it goes on a hot plate, train the staff, make sure they know what they're doing. And then if someone is just in a bad mood, you know, there's not much you can do besides just really go above and beyond.
If they're having a rough day and all of a sudden it becomes your rough day. But I think what's good with food and social media is that so many people take pictures of their food and they post it everywhere. You go, oh, you got to check out this fish and chips. It's the coolest thing ever. It's delicious. You got to come here to Portsmouth, which I think is fantastic and probably helpful for you. But we were talking like, so many great restaurants in Chicago, right? I'm looking at your menu. I'm loving everything I see. I want to go there every day, but there's so many great restaurants. You have to win people over. You have to pick and choose. Like, I have to have this on the top of my head. Great menu, great service, fish. I love it.
Right.
But I get, you know, it's like so many great places to eat.
There's a lot. And there's a lot of competition in Chicago. You see the places closing down, you know, especially this time of year. It's really slow.
Yeah.
But that's why we, you know, we do a great happy hour. We have some things that are off the menu that are on the happy hour menu only. You know, we're open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So we have three different menus. So you can come, you know, a couple times a week and eat, you know, several different things.
If I have a great meal, I always wanted to call the chef to my table. Do people do that like they do in the movies?
Once in a while.
Oh, this was an unbelievable meal. I'd like to talk to the chef and thank him.
Once
in
a while.
Do that?
Yeah, once in a while. And it's actually nice to, you know, if you're not too busy to go out and talk to a guest and have them, you know, it's nice.
I mean, if it's 7:30 at night and someone calls you, it's like, I'm busy.
Yeah, just maybe I send the sous chef at that point, you know.
But isn't it nice? Like, so nowadays, the chef is the celebrity. So because of all the TV and all of the media that goes around,
around the chef. So when you come out, one person, like Pete, wants to thank you. Then everybody wants to take a picture with the chef and shake your hands.
Yeah, I mean, that hasn't happened yet. Maybe a couple times a week, people want to say hello, and I actually love doing that. You know, I'm very modest. I like to just say, you know, thank you for coming in, and you know, it feels nice.
You're in the Dana Hotel building?
We are.
Okay. My wife's been there multiple times. She talks about you a lot.
Does she?
Yeah. I mean, not you personally, but the restaurant. How do you come up with specials? How does it come to mind?
The process there is sort of like, what do I want to cook? You know, what time of year is it?
Now, chefs usually say, I get to work and the food speaks to me. Does the food talk to you?
I don't know if it's that philosophical, if it's that deep, you know. It's a lot easier to come up with a special for one night than it is to come up with an entire menu. You know, if a purveyor calls me and says, I have this amazing fish, you want to bring it in.
Oh, okay.
If it's a Thursday, I'll bring it in, maybe get like 10 orders and you have enough for the weekend because, you know, Friday and Saturday are the busiest nights. What kind of fish is it? What do I want to cook? What time of year is it? What's available? That's basically it. And then, like you were talking about, you know, you have to make sure that the fish looks, you know, what they say, Instagrammable, because everybody takes a picture.
Right. And you don't want it to taste fishy. Even though it's fish,
it'll never taste fishy. It's always too fresh for
right,
that. But
of course,
it has to look great. You know, that's 60% of it.
Right. What's your favorite fish to eat?
Probably haddock. We use haddock on the menu at happy hour and during brunch. We do a fried fish and waffles instead of like fried chicken and waffles. We do fried fish and waffles.
Great.
And that's actually it's this weird mind trick. Like we serve it with tartar sauce and maple syrup, and it's amazing together.
Wow.
So haddock is this fish from New England. It's very buttery. It's very delicate. We make a turmeric beer batter and it has a little bit of cornmeal in it, and it's just, it's very, very nice. Super light.
I have a question about a fish.
Yeah.
So I was on vacation, and Branzino was the fish.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Oh, yeah.
They serve you the whole fish where I was because I was out of the country, and the fish came with teeth, and it looked like an old man's teeth coming out of his mouth.
Don't eat those.
Was it an old fish, or is that normal?
I think this is normal. They have to eat too, you know, so they have to be able to bite their prey.
Why did they get rid of the fish before they gave that to me?
That would probably be, I mean, that might be a lot of work to just pull the teeth out, you know. I think
they leave the head on.
Yeah.
Can you ask for the head off?
You probably could, but I think if you're traveling abroad, like they might laugh at you.
Yeah, of course I would.
I don't want to see the fish staring back at me.
I don't mind the fish head. I mind the teeth. It was like looking at.
So we do a whole fish. We do a yellowtail snapper, and we remove the head, and we remove all the bones, and then put it back together. So for, you know, for people like you, it's a perfect solution.
And they floss the teeth.
We do.
They weren't very clean.
Orthodontist, yeah.
Chef, are you on Instagram?
I am.
What's your handle?
It's N. Hensler.
N. Hensler.
Yeah. H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.
And you're taking pictures of food?
Food, my dog, you know, my kids. You know, it's pretty low profile, but, you know, it's fun stuff.
I can't wait to stop in. I've heard a lot about
Please
your
do.
Restaurant. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
PortsmithChicago.com, 660 North State Street. Chef Nate, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chef.
It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend. Feels like he's on top.
9:26, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on tonight's pregame live from Las Vegas. Be on with Justin, then 8:30. And tomorrow he'll be joining us from 8 to 10 from Vegas. That'll be nice.
It'll be great.
It is. Jane Monzuris is here. Mark Carman's here.
Hi.
Thinking about what he's going to give up for Lent. We have Cardinal Blaise Supich coming up at 9:40 this morning. Talking to the Cardinal. Today's Fat Tuesday. Tomorrow's the beginning of Lent.
Seems like pressure.
Right? You have the Cardinal, and he's a lovely man, and he's nice. We had him on, I think, last year talking about
same
thing.
Yep. Great guy.
Yeah.
So here's my question.
Yeah, what
Another
is your question?
Question. Do you refer to him as Cardinal Blaise Supich or Blaise Cardinal Supich?
Cardinal Blaise Supich.
Are you sure?
Nope. I just call him the Cardinal.
Cardinal Supich, I would say.
I'm going to call him Cardinal, but isn't it? It could go both ways, but I think
I'm going B Dubs.
The official version is Blaise Cardinal Supich. I think it's first name Cardinal, then last name. I could be wrong.
Can we ask him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to tell him your sister is a sister?
He knows.
Oh, he does know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why we get him on the
air.
We've
talked to him 3 or 4 times.
I know, but sometimes he's a very busy man. He meets a lot of people.
The reason that he comes on is because my sister is a sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she actually made the phone call.
She did. Okay. Quick break. We'll check headlines and then Cardinal Blaze Supich coming up at 9:40 at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:38, we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, Mark Carman's here. Today is Fat Tuesday. How is everyone celebrating Fat Tuesday? Are you going to go out tonight?
I'm going to probably eat some just great sweets and just have a Fat Tuesday.
Are you going to do it up? You guys do it up?
I probably won't go out. I'll just do that at home.
We do it up.
I'm getting pizza today, Pete. You've been talking about it all morning. I just stared at seven things online.
For people just tuning in, they've been making fun of me all morning because pizza is one of the things that I'm giving up for Lent. I have a 12-year-old. And anybody with kids that are listening right now, pizza, mac and cheese, and chicken nuggets.
Chicken fingers.
You eat them nonstop.
Pete, every time
nonstop.
I talk to you, you're making chicken thighs. I've never once ever have you text me and go, Jane, how do I make a pizza?
We eat pizza all the time. Yeah. So it's going to be a sacrifice.
You order out.
Yeah.
I got no beef with you having pizza all the time. I'd eat it every day. Milkshake, too.
I love the milkshakes. Maybe that's what I give up, milkshakes.
Can we talk to our next guest?
Ice cream.
He is the head of the Catholic Church in Chicago. Uh-oh. We'd like to welcome to the show Cardinal Blaze Supich. Cardinal, how are you, sir?
Great. Good to be with you today.
Cardinal, do you give up anything for Lent? Do you do that?
Well, I was thinking about interviews.
After this. I was on hold talking to these people. You know, today is Fat Tuesday. Do you celebrate?
Well, yes. I'm going to be at a meeting with a bunch of priests today, and then I have a group of people tonight that I'm going to be with. So it's a nice way to have the season of Lent begin tomorrow by having something a little extra to store up today.
Can you remind people why we practice Lent as Catholics? Because I think a lot of people forget that they think it's a diet plan for 40 days.
Well, I mean, if that's the residual impact, the diet isn't so bad. But on the other hand, Lent has its origins in a time of preparing for Easter when all of the Christian community would walk with people who are coming into the church at Easter, those who are going to be baptized and come in full communion. So in many ways, it's an act of solidarity with all of those who are going to come into the church. And it's also a time for each one of us individually to renew our own initiation as disciples of Jesus.
Okay. Tomorrow is not a holy day, but you recommend that people should get ashes, correct?
Well, you know, Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation, but it's very interesting that our crowds on Ash Wednesday are just enormous, and that's good, and people of all ages. It's really great. And I think people are in touch with the fact that there is a need to change their life, and they do it in a communal way.
Okay.
Colonel, I like the idea of preparing for Easter, and I like the idea of you have this 40-day Lenten period. Ash Wednesday, we'll be on the air tomorrow morning, and so my options to getting ashes over where I live, there's a 6 o'clock at night. Then I feel like I get them at 6, and I have to wash my face, and they're gone. Does it matter? You know, like I like to have them all day. So I feel like I should get them earlier in the day.
Well, a lot of people feel that way too. On the other hand, sometimes given your own work schedule, you have to do that. But you know, ashes are an external representation of what's going on internally. So I think if you cultivate something inside in terms of your own mortality and also the fact of a need for repentance, because ashes have always symbolized that, it doesn't matter what time you get them.
There you go, Jane.
Okay.
Okay.
I feel better, though.
Cardinal, tomorrow is also Valentine's Day. Is there a special dispensation for meat tomorrow? Because you're not supposed to have meat.
You know, traditionally, of course, Ash Wednesday is a day not only of abstinence from meat, but also fasting. That means that you don't eat in between meals, and your two meals are equal to the one. I think that since Ash Wednesday has such deep roots in our faith life, that I've encouraged people to celebrate Valentine's Day the night before and combine it with Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
I wish you would have told me that last week. I was just going to have fish tomorrow. I know. Mark, you had a question for the Cardinal?
That's good. You can have a nice steak tonight and fish tomorrow.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
Cardinal, I live in the sports world a lot. I'm curious, like, a lot of times when you hear, a team wins, they want to thank God because, and I'm sitting there thinking, does God really want the Cubs to win over the Cardinals and that type of stuff? But I know they're about their performance. What do you think when you hear athletes talk like that?
Well, I would be in favor of the fact that God wants the Cubs to win over the Cardinals. I have no problem at all. I mean, they call themselves the Cardinals, but as far as I know, there's only one in Chicago, so.
There it is.
Fair enough.
I have friends that give up beer every year. Is there a special dispensation for St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day is a big... big feast day. I think usually, since Sunday isn't Lent, and it's a day in which whatever you give up in Lent, you're able to go back to what you do because of the feast day of Sunday. I think that if St. Patrick's Day is a traditional day of celebration for people, I wouldn't have any problem with that of people having, a thimble full of beer, for instance.
A thimble full of beer. So,
I'm generous, aren't I?
You are, but I just want to see if I have this correct. So Sunday, you could, let's say I gave up pizza for Lent, so I could have pizza on Sundays during Lent?
Well, the 40 days of Lent don't count Sundays.
Oh my gosh, my mother has been lying to me all these years.
Wait. The 40 days of Lent don't count Sunday. So if you've given up sweets, or say you've given up pizza like Pete, he can have that on Sundays.
Yes, it's not part of the 40 days. Now, of course, people who like to go the extra mile, it's kind of like, when you have a class and the teacher gives you the possibility of extra credit, that you might as well get it then.
You get extra credit.
Some of us need it more than others.
My mother, Betty Ann, is a very Catholic woman, goes to church every morning, has never heard of Vatican II, so she doesn't eat meat on Fridays. If I tell her that the Cardinal says it's okay during Lent to eat what you gave up on Sunday, she's not going to believe it.
Nah.
Well, that's fine, and I admire people. I don't eat meat on Friday ordinarily either.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Cardinal just delivered better news than a snow day.
He really did, Steve.
He really did. I don't know if I believe that.
I think this is sort of new for everybody to learn. Cardinal, you don't have to, when we say about giving things up, Pete was asking me, what are you giving up? And I said, I don't know yet. It doesn't have to be food. It just has to be something that you enjoy and something that you feel like is going to be different for you. Like, I can give up Facebook.
Well, yes, I think if you give up Facebook, then give more time to prayer. If you give up spending on yourself, then give something to the poor. If you give up some food, then help people who are struggling to raise their family and feed their children. So I think that, there's a both and here.
I love that. So it's giving up and it's also almsgiving.
Right.
One of the things I can tell you that I do love from, I got this at church, the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii. They gave away these little black books and they weren't phone numbers. They were just like daily meditations for Lent.
Good. That's great. A lot of parishes go really put together some great practices for people. And it shows that, we have great pastors out there.
Cardinal, before you go, I have to find out when you're saying Mass next at Holy Name, because I've never attended a Mass that you've celebrated. What is your schedule? I feel like you just pop up and suddenly you're on the news. It's like, oh my gosh, we missed the Cardinal down at Holy Name.
Yeah, well, most weekends I'm at different parishes because I'm trying to get around to the 360 parishes. My next event at the cathedral is this Sunday. But it's not a Mass. It's for the for the rite of election. That is, all those who are coming into the church come to the cathedral and are received by me. I don't have my schedule in front of me and tell you what exactly is the next time I'm going to be at the cathedral. But I will be there, I know, for Holy Week, beginning with Tuesday with the Chrism Mass, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
Right. That's a tough ticket.
Holy Week.
It's tough. I love it. Cardinal, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate your time. I know you're busy. And before you go, I just want to make sure of this because I know my mother is listening right now. Is it okay to say Cardinal Blaise Supich or is it Blaise Cardinal Supich? What do you prefer?
Either one of them. I'm used to either one. And I might go ahead and send you that thimble.
Thank you, Cardinal.
St. Patrick's Day. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Take
Cardinal.
Care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. He's always entertaining.
I mean, Steve had the best comment of the whole day, is that the Cardinal just gave us a better gift than Santa Claus.
It doesn't matter that he said it. My mother is never going to believe it.
I am so excited about this because I always told my kids, Sunday, you can eat whatever you gave up, and they never believed me. They said, Mom, you are wrong.
Well, you knew this, Mary.
I knew it. I didn't want to say that with the Cardinal.
Yeah, right.
Well, I always fought for that, but no one ever gave me credit for it.
Yeah, I fought for it at home, and I did it, but my kids were like, no.
Imagine if you gave up swearing. Your Sundays at home would be awful.
Oh, wonderful. Steve, what do we have coming up, top of the hour?
Cardinal Supich says Sundays don't count.
Yes.
Actually, the immigration debate continues in the Senate. Intelligence leaders talking to Senate Intelligence Committee as well. That and more coming up from the WGN Newsroom at 10 o'clock.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thanks again to Cardinal Blaise Supich. I'm still shocked at what he said.
Good information. But whatever apparently a lot of other people knew that was permissible.
773 area code. Post the Cardinal's words on Twitter. Sundays are free days. I need to retweet that.
Yeah, but other people have been commenting saying, hey, we were taught that in elementary school.
Yeah, but my mother never believed it.
Me neither.
Now we have the head of the Catholic Church here. This guy's got a direct line to the Pope. He's got a direct line to God. So
he said.
Yeah.
But you can still give it up and you'll get that extra credit.
Right. He likes the extra credit.
Twitter has a list of the most popular things to give up for Lent. What do you think number one is?
Wow, I thought, so I know already.
Carm?
Sex.
Sex?
No, that's like number 17 on the
sex
list.
Sex is number 10 on the list.
I made the list.
Mary, you want to take a stab?
Alcohol.
Alcohol, booze, number one.
Where's celibacy on that list?
Alcohol.
I thought it was social media.
Social media is number three.
Oh.
How about chocolate?
It's got chocolate's number four.
Yeah.
Alcohol, fast food, social media, chocolate, chips. Those are your top five.
Guacamole?
Guacamole not in the top ten.
Pizza?
Number six, cookies.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Number seven, being mean and swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight... Carm, listen to this, complaining.
Rude.
Number nine, according to Twitter, the most popular things to give up for Lent, phone selfies.
Oh, that's a good one.
And number 10, sex.
That is very current right there.
If you're married and been married over 10 years, you gave up sex for Lent. It's okay. It's all right.
Don't you have to okay that with, you know, your partner first?
I've given up alcohol and it didn't last 2 years ago. I gave up swearing and it didn't even last a day. I had to switch.
I don't think you swear that much.
You have to drive with me.
You're right.
It happens when it's driving, when I'm driving.
What about at the gym?
No, I don't like to talk. I don't like people talking to me at the gym. I like to get in and get out. Yeah. Headphones, keep my head down.
You don't talk to yourself, let's, you know, kind of go?
I'm not that guy.
Let's kind of go?
I'm not maxing out on the bench. Uh-uh. That's not
it. Flexing in the mirror.
I just painted a visual.
It sounds like you're potty training.
No, that's not happening.
I get after it, buddy.
Could you guys give up social media for 40 days?
No.
I would like to give up social media for 40 days. But, I mean, social media is kind of part of the job, right?
Right.
So we have to always be posting and kind of informing. It's part of what we do.
I feel like I get my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do
that. Would you do all social media? You could just pick one.
I'd give up Facebook for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
You can just post today or tomorrow morning you post. I'm giving up.
See you in 40 days.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't care.
As opposed to Snapchat, Mary, you're just you're holding on to that.
Snapchat.
Right. Well,
Instagram.
My favorite social media right now is Instagram. It's just pictures.
Yeah, pictures.
People can't complain. Just give me a picture. I can look at it. I'll like it.
You like watching the stories? Daily stories.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't think they should have added the stories feature into that. It's just too much. I want to see the pictures.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You can bypass them.
Yeah, I don't know. The stories are too much. I want to go back to Lent because none of these things on the list are really all that exciting. Like, so what? You want to give up chocolate?
Okay.
Right? Do you eat it that much?
Oh, I do.
Yeah?
Never.
Every day.
Well, it's not always about how much. It's about the sacrifice.
Yeah, Jane.
Yeah, I know. But is it really that much of a sacrifice to not eat pizza, Pete?
Yes.
Yeah. It is. Okay. Yeah.
Especially on a Friday, you know, you're not supposed to eat meat.
Don't eat meat.
Pizza is like
eat?
The first fallback option.
Sushi?
Yeah.
I mean, you can only afford so much, and the store-bought, you don't know how long it's been sitting there.
Get some salmon.
I'm on a one-year no fast food, and every day it's painful.
Really?
Drive by Wendy's.
There you go.
Wendy's? Out of all the fast food joints?
You pick another one. Mickey D's. Oh, looks really? So good. Love an Egg McMuffin right now.
So I'm bummed about something the Cardinal said, though.
What?
Yeah?
So now you can't just do something nice. You have to give up something and do something nice. Yep.
And you need to go to confession for that remark, Mary.
Glad that you caught that, because that's what's ringing in my ears as well. You could give up chocolate, but yet now you have to give chocolate to somebody else.
Yeah, I thought I could just do the nice thing
and not
have to give up chocolate.
If you wanted to.
Pete, help me out, but I think that's number 9, right? Mary's complaining?
Yes. No, that was number 8. Number 8. Mary, you're giving up complaining for Lent. All right. Bill and Wendy coming up next. It's 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Well, Bill and Wendy are here, and Bill's wearing a ski sweater.
Do you like this, Pete?
Yeah,
I did this for you to make it look like we might ski
some
point.
Are you a skier or you don't ski?
Yeah, I ski all the time. I skied here today. I'm going to ski home.
Well, you had the boot on. I don't see you as a skier. You're not
a big skier. Chicago is known for skiing to get around transportation-wise, like
Katie
Amsterdam
said
was
that,
with skating.
That's the only way we can get around here.
Skiing or skeeching?
I do all that. I can do all
sketching.
That.
It's not skeeching.
Sketching.
Sketching? We used to call it bumpering in Peoria. You just grab a bumper.
Bumpering.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Slide on the ice?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sliding on the ice, same thing. Yeah. It's a 2-minute minor. but my family and I started going to Breckenridge when the girls were real little. We taught them to ski when they were 2. It's so much
fun.
You are lying.
You guys are jealous. I go every year. Yeah. We didn't go this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why does he not believe you?
I don't know. Pete, you're a doubter.
Did you ever have to wear a neck brace after a skiing accident?
No.
Why'd you wear a neck brace?
Because the show was a little stressed out earlier, and I had a neck brace, and neck braces are funny,
for
so I brought it out.
Or for comedic purposes?
Laugh.
And I was walking around talking to people.
How's that funny?
No one laughed, so
funny.
I won't bring it tomorrow.
That's so sad.
It was
put
in
your
my
leg
bag.
In a cast tomorrow.
Oh, right, I'll do that.
Maybe an iron lung on Friday. That'd be fun. You got to build up for it. The sympathy morning man. It's Pete McMurray, the sympathy morning
man. One more question before you go. Have you started watching the Olympics? Did you jump on the bandwagon?
No,
come on, man.
Not for me.
Chloe Kim, she's fun to watch.
Red.
Do you watch any of those events any other time other than the Olympics ever?
Of course
who cares?
Not. No, that's why it's such
fun.
A big deal.
It's fun to find yourself sitting on the couch watching downhill
skating. Oh, boy, ice dancing's on. Whee!
Right. I like that. I like the skating and ice dancing.
I like this.
The skating Sunday night was kind of fun to watch.
So the girl did the triple axel.
Yeah.
First time ever.
It's a big deal.
Although Tonya Harding did it, just not at the Olympics.
Right.
It's true.
Is Sonia Henny still in this? She is, right?
Oh, okay.
She's great.
Great to see you guys.
Thank you, Pete. Nice job.
See you, buddy. This is Chicago's very own.
I'll be back tomorrow.
We'll say hello, buddy.
What?
You just startled the newsroom with that news.
Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.